All right, Wednesday evening, 3:06:24. We're going to do part two of the Office of the Prophet. We'll start out with the scripture in Amos 3:7 here. And I got it right this time. It says, "Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets." You know, how we kind of looked at it last time, that what we've seen so far in the Old Testament, it seems that the prophet seems to work with the leader, the natural leader. Okay. A man is called a prophet and a woman is called a prophetess. This is what Rick Renner had to say about something, and I thought it was really good. He said right here, there's two kinds, the ones that hear and the ones that see. But as we'll look at this today, another thing that he said was, you think about, you know, we're led by the Spirit. We can't operate in gifts in the flesh. We have to wait for the Spirit to trigger our gift. And he likens a prophet, and I'm going to read a scripture in 2 Peter that really bears this out, that it's like a ship with on a sea, and they can go nowhere until the wind hits the sails. And that's the way the prophetic office is. All right. 2 Peter 2, we'll just go there right quick. Chapter 2, verse 15. And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom giveth unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all epistles. Am I reading the right thing? No, I'm not. I'm sorry. I'm in 3. Well, I had to get my mistake in right at the beginning. All right, 15. Verse 15. That just shows you I'm not perfect. Perfect in God's sight, but not, you know, naturally speaking. All right, verse 15. Which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Now, we know what he was. He was a false prophet. But was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Yeah, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were a clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. I think I'm reading the wrong thing again. Let me keep going. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from their holy commandment delivered unto them. I am reading the wrong thing. Go to 1 Peter. Sorry, y'all. Let me look here. The scripture I'm looking for, Danny, is talking about that the men were the prophetic voices as the Spirit
moved by as they were moved.
Right. I think it's 2 Peter, but I thought it was 2, but I guess it's not. Oh, I found it. It's first chapter 1. All right.
In 2 Timothy 2?
No, 1 Peter.
I mean 1 Peter or 2 Peter?
It's 2 Peter chapter 1. Okay. All right.
Yeah, okay. I'll know it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I put there 15. Let me look here. Moreover, I will endeavor, verse 15, that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. That's the Mount of Transfiguration. We also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So can you see the analogy? Like it's you're a ship on the water and you're waiting for the wind to blow to catch the sail. Movement. All right. Strong's, right here, another word for prophet is a seer or seer, which I like to say seer because they see. Some see, some hear. All right, prophet here in the Strong's is to prophesy, speak or sing by inspiration, in prediction or simple discourse, an inspired man. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures in the Old Testament, then we're going to follow up with what I just read to you in 2 Peter. All right, Numbers 12:6. And he said, "Hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, the Lord will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream." Okay, he's talking about my servant Moses here, that he talks to him face to face. All right, now I'll go over to Deuteronomy chapter 13. Verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, "Let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them," thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. So there's people that prophesy out of their own human spirit or out of their soul. And the true gift of prophet, they're moved on by the Holy Ghost to bring what they bring. All right, we're going to look at Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit is likened unto a mighty wind. All right, this is Acts 2, 1 through 4. Remember a Christian book I read many years ago called Like a Mighty Wind? Y'all remember that? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound of heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the gifts of the Spirit, the offices, they're by the Spirit. I don't care the fivefold ministry gifts, they're by the Spirit. Okay? If there is no wind, then the ship can't go anywhere. If it's not inspired by the Holy Spirit, you don't go anywhere. This is the attitude a prophet must always keep in the forefront. Just because you're a plain spoken person and a black and white person and you might have some knowledge, that does not mean that you're speaking for God. There's a big difference, huh? The prophet is God's mouthpiece. He doesn't do anything it says, lest he reveal it to servants the prophets. That's Old and New Testament. All right. Right here, seer. The word seer means visions or seer. Seer. So we're going to continue looking tonight in the rest of the Old Covenant where the prophet comes into play. Like I said to Danny, I said, it's not going to be as long as it was last week because I kind of thought, I don't know if I'm going to be able to read the rest of this stuff. There was so many. This one, we're going to look at 1 Kings chapter 13. All right, we'll start with verse 1 there. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense, and he cried unto the altar in the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is a sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him, and his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the men of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him again, and became as it was before. In other words, I think it was leprous. Anyway. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken to the king. Then they told also to their father, and their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. And he said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. Well, now got us another false prophet here, don't we? So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drink water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. It came to pass, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled from him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass, and behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass, and they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. When the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath tore him and slain him according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. And he spake to his son, saying, saddle me the ass. And they saddled him, and he went and found his carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass nor torn the ass. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God and laid it upon the ass and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. And he said, laid his carcass in his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, alas, my brother. And it came to pass, after he had buried him, that he spake to his son, saying, when I am dead, then bury me in the sepulchre wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the same which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against all the houses of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria shall surely come to pass. After this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest of the people, priest of the high places, whoever would, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. And this thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from off the face of the earth. So this man's walking in a dangerous place. He's not anointed to do those things, and he's messing with things he shouldn't. But the point is about the prophet. The Lord gave him a direct order. This is what you are to say, and this is what you do. And there was nothing that should have dissuaded him from what he was supposed to do. But he was hoodwinked along the way. See, God, and I've spoken to someone before about keeping God's secrets. When God gives you a word, you don't just go blab it. You wait until the wind, you know what I'm saying? You're compelled by God to deliver that message to someone. I had a prophecy one time for a guy, and I had it for 10 years before it was ever delivered to him. You know, and I've got lots of words that have never been delivered to anybody, and they may never be. But the thing about a prophet is this. This is what Brother Hagin said, and I believe it. Most of a prophet's life is private. There's things that God shows you, you don't ever say. And you think, if you're God's mouthpiece, then you've got to be able to be trusted with what he gives you. Not, well, I'm a prophet, I'm going to blab it, you know. That's not the right spirit. This is by the Holy Spirit. It's serious. It really is. Okay. I mean, it got this prophet killed. All right, let's keep going here. We see now how God works. He works the same way through his prophets, really. I think a lot of respect has been lost from the prophetic office, especially because so many prophets have come out of the woodwork, especially in the last 7 years. And it was just a prophet on every corner. There was one young prophet, I think he had a big old church. He was preaching in auditoriums and stuff. I hadn't heard of him since this time, but he prophesied some things about Trump being in office. Well, he got it right, but he thought he got it wrong, so he cut up and made a big apology to everybody for getting it wrong. Well, they didn't realize he was, the commander-in-chief, and he's in his second term. He's a wartime president, and during wartime, really, elections are illegal. You don't do elections during wartime. So people didn't, you know. But see, people look on the outside and they say, well, he didn't get it right. And there's others that said the same thing, and they done some backtracking. So it takes a strong person that's mature. That's why I think a lot of the younger prophets, maybe, you know, and a lot of these were younger, maybe, you know, you need to be a little more groomed, maybe, before you step out. Okay. All right, let's go to 1 Timothy 2, not 1 Kings, 1 Timothy 2. We just did that. Like I said, I've given some words, and I got flogged for it. Somebody asked me to pray, and the Lord gives me what's going on, and I tell them, and they get mad at me. You know, that is just kind of part of it, I guess. You know, I'd much rather give words that are good words. And this wasn't a bad word. It was someone that had some sickness, something in their body that they couldn't get rid of. And they'd been to the doctor many times and taken round after round after round after round of antibiotics. I guess I can tell what it is because you don't know the person. Anyway, they asked me to pray. What's going on in my body? Why aren't these antibiotics working? And this person loved music, but they love secular music. I mean, they liked all kinds of music. Well, the Lord said, the reason you can't get rid of that is because of your music. And they didn't like that. So, you know, you just got to deliver whatever the words of the Lord is. It may not be something you like. You know, hopefully it'll be something that they'll hear. You know, you hope they will, but you're not responsible if they hear it or not. You're just responsible to get the message out with accuracy. How the Lord showed it to you, that's how you give it. Okay, 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 5. This is why we pray this prayer right here. It's I think one of our confessions, maybe when I redo our confessions, will be that God will raise up leaders that will welcome the prophetic into their administration, their term, or whatever it is, and hear the voice of the Lord, you know. All right. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. The only way we're going to do that is if they're hearing from God. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. There's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So God wants us to pray for our leaders. Why? Well, there's a couple other scriptures. We have it in our petition, but I'll go ahead and bring them. This is Psalm 75. This is one distinguishing attribute of Donald Trump. You see him in many occasions in a room full of ministers. And I'm not talking just anybody. I'm talking some of the top, you know, evangelical Christians today. Some of them are prophets. They're praying over him. I heard a lady today. I mean, is she just an average black lady. And she said, Mr. Trump, President Trump, hold on, we're coming. She said, we don't care what people say about us or what they say about you. We got your back. Hold on. She kept saying, hold on, we're coming. You know, his song, he plays, hold on, we're coming. And I thought that was so cool. Looking past the race card, looking past all this rhetoric and saying, we're united. Yeah. And that, Mr. President, we got your back. And she said something about 74 million votes or however it was that you got last time. She said, it's double now. You know, it was real encouraging. So, yeah, that's the way it's going to have to be. All right, this is Psalm 75, 6, and 7. For promotion comes neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south. But God is a judge. He puts down one and sets up another. So that tells me their placement in office has to everything to do with the Lord. So I said, Lord, send a prophet in their midst. There's a lot of them. There's as many prophets as there any other fivefold ministry gift. So they'll listen to you about things. And I'm sure there's, you know, I think with prophets, it's kind of jurisdictional, just like it is with the apostle. You have certain areas that God will use you in, or maybe you're, you know, might be more political, you know, because we see through Old and New Testament that the prophet and the leader work together. Well, that's the way it's supposed to be. All right, one more. This is Proverbs 21:1. Right here, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. How is that possible? Because we're praying for our leaders. Not criticizing our leaders, not boycotting our leaders or whatever. Praying for our leaders. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. So if we will be obedient and we will pray for our leaders instead of complaining about our leaders, God, God can't do anything in the earth unless we ask him to. Why? He's given us the earth. So we have to petition him to intervene. So, Lord, we invite you to come into our leaders' lives, to turn their heart like a water course. What's the goal? Quiet and peaceful lives. No crime. All right. All right, our prayer should be also that God would place a prophet over our real leaders and to keep this big ship flowing with the Holy Ghost. Let's keep these sails full of the wind of the Holy Ghost and navigating this country where it needs to go. Definitely. Leaders and prophets work together. When we get into the New Testament, we will see that the apostles stood before leaders. We know Peter and Paul did, for sure. Okay? All right. Prophets have a high accountability before the Lord for hearing correctly. And by making sure they're catching the mighty wind of the Holy Spirit when they speak. All right, a few more scriptures. Go back to 1 Kings. First Kings chapter 14. You know, in the time of Elijah, Ahab, he's a wicked leader. But what happened? He took out the prophets of Baal. All right. Chapter 14. At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself, that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam, and get thee to Shiloh. This is that wicked guy, you know, we just talked about. And get thee to Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah the prophet, which he told me that I should be king over this people. And take with thee ten loaves and cracknels and a cruse of honey, and go to him. He shall tell thee what shall become of the child. In other words, the child was sick. And Jeroboam's wife did so and arose and went to Shiloh and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of his age. And the Lord said unto Ahijah, Behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask a thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shalt thou say unto her, for it shall be, when she cometh in, that she shall feign herself to be another woman. And it was so that Ahijah heard the sound of her feet, and as she came in at the door, that he said, Come in, thou wife of Jeroboam, why feignest thou thyself to be another? For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings. Go tell Jeroboam, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, For as much as I exalted thee from among the people, and made thee prince over my people Israel, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David, and gave it thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments, and who followed me with all his heart to do that only which was right in mine eyes, but hast done evil above all that was before thee, for thou hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back. Therefore, behold, see our accountability, you know, talk about people having accountability. Well, you don't get any higher accountability than God. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam him that pisseth against the wall, him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam as a man taketh away dung, till it be all gone. Him that dieth of Jeroboam in the city shall the dogs eat. Him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat, for the Lord hath spoken it. Arise thou therefore, get thee to thine own house, and when thy feet enter to the city, the child shall die. Let me see where I stop here on this. All right, let's keep going. And all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him, for he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave, because in him there is found some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam. Moreover, the Lord shall raise him up a king over Israel, who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam that day, but what? Even now. For the Lord shall smite Israel as a reed is shaken in the water, and he shall root up Israel out of this good land, which he gave to their fathers, and shall scatter them beyond the river. Because they have made their groves, provoking the Lord to anger. Like nowadays, Bohemian Grove. And he shall give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who did sin and who made Israel to sin. And Jeroboam's wife arose and departed and came to Tirzah. And when she came to the threshold of the door, the child died, and they buried him, and all Israel mourned for him according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by the hand of his servant Ahijah the prophet. And the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, how he warred and how he reigned, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. And the days which Jeroboam reigned were 22 years, and he slept with his fathers, and Nadab his son reigned in his stead. And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there, and his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord. And they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed above all that their fathers had done. For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. And there was also sodomites in the land. Ha! Did y'all see where the new spokesperson, they fired him now, but the new spokesperson for Doritos is a sodomite, drag queen. And he come out with, find out he's a pedophile. So they canceled his contract. And there were also sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass in the 5th year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. And he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and treasures of the king's house. He even took away all. And he took away all the shields of gold. This is when I talked to you about substituting brass for gold. This is why. The gold which Solomon made, and King Rehoboam made in their stead brazen shields, and committed them into the hands of the chief of the guard which kept the door of the king's house. And it was so when the kings went into the house of the Lord that the guard bare them and brought them back into the guard chamber. See, they looked like gold, but they were not. They were brass. Now the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days, and Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, and his mother's name was Naamah the Ammonitess, and Abijam his son reigned in his stead. So now we've got both kingdoms completely compromised. All right, let's go over to 16. All right, starting with verse 1 there, let's see. All right, verse 13 scriptures here. Then the word of the Lord came to Jehu, the son of Hananiah, or Hanani, against Baasa, saying, "For as much as I exalted thee out of the dust and made thee prince over my people Israel, thou hast walked in the way of Jeroboam and hast made my people Israel to sin to provoke me to anger with their sins. Behold, I will take away the prosperity of Baasa and the prosperity of his house will make thy house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Him that dieth of Baasa in the city shall the dogs eat. Him that dieth of his in the field shall the fowls of the air eat." Now the rest of the acts of Baasa and what he did and his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Baasa slept with his fathers and was buried in Tirzah, and Eli his son reigned in his stead. And also by the hand of the prophet Jehu, the son of Hananiah, however you say it, came the word of the Lord against Baasa and against his house, even for all the evil that he did in the sight of the Lord, and provoking him to anger with the work of his hands, and being like the house of Jeroboam, and being because he killed him. And in 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Eli, the son of Baasa, to reign over Israel in Tirzah 2 years. And his servant Zimri, captain of half his chariots, conspired against him, as he was in Tirzah, drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, steward of the house of Tirzah. And Zimri went in and smote him and killed him in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his stead. It all came to pass when he began to reign, as soon as he sat on his throne, that he slew all the house of Baasa. He left him not one that pisses against the wall, neither of his kinfolks, nor of his friends. Thus did Zimri destroy all the house of Baasa, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake against Baasa by Jehu the prophet. For all the sins of Baasa and the sins of Eli his son, by which they sinned, and by which they made Israel to sin, and provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. You know, this reminds me of today and what's happening with the draining of the swamp. It's like we've been going through swamp draining all through the Bible. From one administration to another, God would raise up a prophet to try to correct him. You know who God raised up for us to start seeing stuff? What's his name, Mark? What's his name? The one that had all the prophecies, received them in 2011. Taylor, Mark Taylor. And he's been right on in every single one of the prophecies that he's got, that he wrote, that he brought out. He wrote a book about it with all the prophecies in it. I have all of them recorded, and everything that they're doing is in those prophecies. All the stuff we've learned about, you know, the church coming out of the 501c3 and Babylon coming down, all of that, it's word for word. And this man, he really hasn't had anything new. What he did, he said it took him months and months and months to release the prophecy because he made sure it was God. All right. All right. 1 Kings 18. Now we're getting into the good one, the big dog here. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. So here they are. God sanctions. No rain. So no rain, no crops. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land, unto all fountains of water and unto all brooks, peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lost not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. Kind of sounds like the fires going on, the dew weapons used in those fires. This, you know, I can't even remember how many thousands and thousands and thousands of acres they've lost. And how many cattle. That's what happens when wicked people rule. It's not God doing the wickedness. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him and fell on his face and said, art thou my Lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, what have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, therefore is no nation or kingdom, rather my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. It shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Instead of repenting, he's trying to slay the prophet. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and with water? Now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel. In other words, the problem's you, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Sounds like today. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel into Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450. And the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together into Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the Lord that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose ye one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. There was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. It came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. It came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied unto the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any to that regarded. And so Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. That tells you, you know, Not cracking no Bibles for sure. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would center or contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. He said, do it the third time. They did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. Now, you have to understand here something. There was a water shortage. No rain. Came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah broke them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of the abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. It came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, saying to Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. It came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind. There was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. So 3.5 years without any rain. Look what happened. It was because of the evil. All right, just a minute here. All right, one more. 1 Kings 19. Starting with verse 1 there. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. When he saw that, he arose and went for his life, came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. Now you can see here, talking about the wind and the sails. He had to wait on God for him to do that. He didn't just do it. See the power of God. So when she issues this, it scares him, and he takes off running. And he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life. I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. He arose, and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. I like some of that. All right, till verse 21 here. All right. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what dost thou hear, Elijah? And he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for all the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life and take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake to pieces the rocks before the Lord. but the Lord wasn't in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering end of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said unto him, "Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. When thou comest unto Hazael, the king over Israel, anoint the king." The prophet anointed the king in Israel. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. In other words, he's going to be replaced. And it shall come to pass that him that escaped the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the word of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was playing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen, slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave to the people, and they did eat. Then he rose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. So we think he served him for about 12 years before he became the prophet. Elijah went to heaven. So I want you to get a picture here. You're waiting on the Lord. You're hearing nothing, but you wait and wait and wait until suddenly the wind comes and catches the sails, and you hear by the Holy Spirit what you're supposed to do. Okay? There's where the flow is. It's got to be with that. None of this can be done in the flesh. I mean, I would hate to think, you know, this kind of stuff going on this day. I'm sure maybe there is somewhere, but I'm thinking it seems to be all in the old covenant. But in this day and hour, who knows what the Lord might require of us to do. We just got to hear from the Holy Spirit. Okay.